right. That was great. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Sports LTD, a locally owned sporting goods store featuring bicycles, sports equipment, and apparel for all seasons since 1985. Chico Sports LTD is located in the Safeway Plaza on Mangrove Avenue and is grateful for the support of local businesses and the community. And by Cotton Party, offering fine quality natural fiber clothing and accessories in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway and is open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 5 and Sundays from noon till 5. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. Shop locally at Cotton Party next to Chico Paper Company and Birkenstock. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today, we're taking the show in a different direction as we chat with our guest, Liza Kahn. Our listeners might recall that we had Liza on as a guest back in October when she told us about the Celebration for the Turkeys event at Farm Sanctuary.
Liza, we know Liza as the volunteer coordinator for Farm Sanctuary's Orland location. But prior to that life work, she studied health system management and earned a master's degree in the senior housing administration from George Mason University in Washington, D.C. And then she worked in that field for a number of years before moving on to animal advocacy. So I think I wanted to have her on because I think she'll offer our listeners an informed perspective on aging and in particularly aging and veganism. So thank you so much for coming back to talk with us here, Liza. And why don't we just get started with you telling us a little bit about your background and what got you interested in the area of senior care?
Absolutely. So I started in healthcare, and I started actually as a nursing student.
Really?
I did, and I really liked it. And my mom was a nurse. She was a nurse for 25 years. And I'm fascinated with healthcare. I soon realized that if I continued in the nursing program, I would likely kill people because I confuse milligrams.
I see.
So it would be not the best career choice for me. So I wanted to stay in healthcare, and I felt that my skills were better in more of a management and administration role. Within healthcare, senior health is really important, and it's something that I think we're going to see increasing with this baby boom era.
Yeah, people are
the need
getting older.
Yeah. So, and the baby boom era, is that like 60s? People born in the 60s and earlier, post-World War, I think it's post-World War. Post-World War II through like the early 60s. People coming back, having families.
I'm still not sure if I'm Gen X or millennial, or, I mean, they keep stretching these out.
Well, I'm at the tail end of the baby boomer years. I was born in 1963, so, all right. Yeah, and I know, you know, my peers are aging. Some of them are getting sicker or not. Mm-hmm. Or more concerned about getting sicker, and a lot of them are taking care of their parents. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing a lot of people in seniors needing extra care.
Yeah, and you'll often find, typically it's the adult daughter or daughter-in-law that is responsible for taking care of aging parents as well as children. So you have children who are going into school and needing to go to soccer practice, and then you also got to make sure that mom has three meals a day, and so it can be a big strain on the family to take care of everyone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound easy at all.
Mm-mm.
And you say mom, is it usually mom or is it mom and dad?
Mom and dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you think that senior health issues are different for vegans or vegetarians as opposed to non-vegans?
It's a really great question. So, as we age, our needs will change, and they will change in very different ways. It's individual, often based on lifestyle choices, genetics, and environmental factors. And that's why it's so important to be your own advocate, educate yourself, and take the time to really listen to your body. We don't eat food simply to stay alive or to combat hunger. It's so much more than that. It's social, emotional, and cultural. And that is why experiencing and making changes can be so challenging, because it affects us on so many different levels. And talking about nutrition can be challenging and controversial. But what's not controversial is the fact that heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, and a plant-based diet can prevent, halt, or reverse this. So I think
I've read studies where of, say, of the Seventh-day Adventist community, they're very health-oriented, mm-hmm. and they've done, like, long-term, like, 30-year studies of, you know, well-being and mm-hmm. incidence of disease. And I think typically it looks pretty robust that
yeah.
that type of a vegetarian diet does enhance wellness.
And right. I feel it's the science has been pretty clear on heart disease versus, you know, it may or may not, you know, cure cancer or make you fly. But I think it's, you know, if you're not consuming cholesterol, certainly you don't have any cholesterol. And it's been pretty clear examples of people getting much healthier.
Yeah. Unless you're genetically prone to produce a lot of cholesterol.
Right.
But even then, I think reducing cholesterol.
And it's a low percentage of people that have that.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's as you age, it's really a trifecta. You have genetics, diet, and exercise.
I would say you also have your economic status.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Plays a big role there.
I think right now, too, at this generation of elderly people, the baby boom generation, you know, the older folks are coming out of the, you know, we had family farms.
Mm-hmm.
And the slightly younger folks are coming out of, man, they invented a microwave. Mm-hmm. And kind of, at least in my own family and the older folks in my family, they're all pretty unhealthy. And it's very frustrating. There's the ones that know how to cook, but because they have this plethora of food now and yummy food,
mm-hmm.
and they grew up during the Great Depression, and they're like, I'm going to eat whatever I want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other generation that doesn't know how to cook anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's,
well, that's why you see those meal plans like the
yeah.
purple carrot or
right.
those box plans where you pay X amount and you get all everything pre-measured
and cut
up for you.
You know, you get a certain age, it's cutting's hard, chopping's hard.
Yeah, right. And yeah, and so those types of meal plans, who are they marketed at?
Right.
I think typically not seniors, right? So
and I think that is a great point. Like you mentioned, maybe cutting vegetables gets harder. So as we age, our habits change along with our bodies. And our habits are equally as important to keep in mind as our bodies. For example, motivation for cooking might decline. Or maybe you've added a prescription drug. And I think that's a really important piece to talk about
yeah.
because you have to look at the whole person. You can't just look at nutrition. You have to look at their mental health. You have to look at their socioeconomical placement. You have to take the whole person into consideration. And so so if you are unhealthy and you're overweight, then you're on prescription drugs, and when you're on prescription drugs, then your kidneys don't work as well, and it's just this whole cycle. So it's really about listening to yourself, creating an individual plan with your healthcare professional, and also having a positive outlook on it. I mentioned genetics, diet, and exercise are typically three main components of aging healthy. And the great news is you have control over 2/3 of that. So tune in to radio shows like this, get books, watch documentaries.
Okay. So there's self-motivation for staying healthy. But then when you start getting a chronic disease that you might need daily medication for,
mm-hmm.
How does one step back and put that in perspective? Like, so how do you make sure that you're not, like, becoming, I don't know, over-dependent on medications and letting the medications do the work? For instance, say you're taking a statin to lower cholesterol,
mm-hmm.
right? How do you remain engaged with being an active participant diet-wise in terms of watching your cholesterol, as opposed to just saying, oh, I'm going to take a pill. The pill's doing the work. I can continue to eat whatever I want. Mm. How do you step back? What nudges a person out of that area?
Well, I think the real key here is preventative care. And it's something that is widely known. However, it's not practiced. We don't typically practice a lot of preventative care.
I'd like to eat a banana and I feel better in half an hour and I'm like, all right, you know. yes, preventative is sort of that long-term game, right?
Exactly. And being proactive.
My question is, like, how do we get to that point? Like, our system, our health system isn't necessarily designed to make us proactive, right?
Right.
Well, I'm wondering, like, so in your studies, what are the strategies to help what's the right, old folks? I don't get in trouble.
Seniors.
Older adults is the technical term.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Older adults.
Okay.
Wise and mature individuals. There must be, it's well known, like, I can't get my mom to do anything she don't want to do, David, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm sure they don't just tell you, like, well, just tell them to do this and they'll do it. There must be strategies to engage our elders to get them to sort of make some of these changes, or it's both the healthcare system and it's your family and it's your extended support group.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm getting
at. What are the ways to do that? What are the options, I guess?
What are the options? So some of the options that you have, I think what works the best is to have support, right? So having a supportive community, it's easy for me to be vegan because I have such a great community here in Chico.
Yes, and we do. We have an awesome vegan community here.
You picked a good guest.
So so I think being around like-minded individuals, having support from your family, those are all things that that can help. And it's a good question, and I'm struggling because I don't think that there's a solid answer to it.
I don't think we've gotten there yet, right? I mean, I think that's why we're struggling. We're not there yet. We clearly have some insight onto some things that preserve well-being. I'm going to just call it well-being. Mm-hmm. And yet our system isn't really nudging us towards that. And I don't know. But I agree that community is important. I agree that having a moral foundation mm-hmm. can be extremely grounding and keeping you on the straight and narrow.
Now, I wonder, an interesting study, I suppose, would be to do this across cultures. If you do this in Asian families where it's more traditional that, your parents live with you, you take care of them, or in India where you have these extended families, whereas we've sort of ended up in this American individualism situation where, kids leave and go off and do their thing and parents go off and buy their own retirement home and just like live alone, and that works until it doesn't work, and then you're kind of isolated. Mm-hmm. And that's health or any other things. It's like if you have someone in an isolated situation, I guess that's kind of out of scope of what we're talking about. That's a big problem to solve.
Yeah.
But, I think Meals on Wheels helps. I think we mentioned that.
I looked at Meals on Wheels, which we have, it looks like a pretty great system here in Butte County. And one of the options you can order is a vegetarian meal.
Right.
I haven't gone into depth and to see if they can do a vegan meal for you, but I was really glad to see at least that there's a vegetarian option, for older adults.
That is awesome.
So, okay. I think we sort of talked around. So there are issues with growing older. There's issues with making change as you grow older. So it's better to start before you get older. So if you're not ill yet, if you're not an older adult yet, you should be thinking about ways to help yourself as you age. And one of those ways is to
the younger listeners, right? There's the freshman 15 or whatever. There's mm-hmm. there's that difference between, hey, I'm in high school and I'm playing a sport and I'm growing, and I'm 25 and I don't eat as much as, I still eat the same actually, right? But you shouldn't. And our portion sizes out in the world are these massive portion sizes.
Yeah.
And so it almost gets harder, I think, as you get older. You're like, I can afford all this yummy food, and actually now I can only eat like a third of it.
And that is true. As you age, you do need fewer calories, which is why it's especially important to eat nutrient dense food.
Right, because you need metabolically, you need fewer calories.
Yes.
So say like let's say as a 20-year-old, you need 2,000 calories a day just to maintain your brain activity, your energy needs, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you get older, say 50 or 60, you may need fewer calories, but that does not reduce the amount of vitamins, number of grams of protein necessarily that you need. So all that stays the same. So you have to have a more focused. Every calorie has to be pulling
count.
Its weight in terms of nutrition, in terms of vitamins and minerals and protein also.
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure. Yeah, and I know that protein is a big deal in the vegan world and in the older adult world. So I think it's sort of important to touch on. Protein is an important nutrient required for building, maintaining, and repairing tissue in the body. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein and can be synthesized in the body or ingested from food. And there are 20 different amino acids in the food that we eat, but our body can only make 11 of them. The nine essential amino acids, which cannot be produced by the body, must be obtained from the diet. And plants contain all the essential amino acids, just less per calorie compared to meat.
Okay.
The key thing is eating mostly whole plant foods, which will provide all of the essential amino acids of protein you need to be healthy. And this is the position of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. It's not controversial. Plants have protein. In fact, I cannot name a single plant that doesn't contain protein.
Right, but I mean, kale has protein, but you would have to eat like 22 cups of kale to equal, you know, to make a standard protein portion, right?
Well, a portion of broccoli has more protein than a portion of steak.
So, is that looking at
I think it might be calcium. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think clearly
that's a live fact checking going on.
I'm sorry.
But when we're talking about protein, we need to look at protein dense plant sources. Is all I'm trying to get at.
Protein
I mean, we
dense,
have to look at beans. We have to look at
dark green leafy greens.
Okay.
And what I see a lot of, I mean, in my previous life where I like to go to the Calico Kitchen or the Country Diner, you know, along with my other older and wiser citizens.
And our beloved hometown buffet that went out of business last year.
Oh, did it? Oh. I didn't like the hometown buffet. Anyway, point being, like, if you're talking about quality protein there, it's like, well, here's your chicken fried steak.
Mm. Oh, right,
along with your French fries and your yummy slice of pie. And if you're kind of in that, and hey, I was going there for reasons like this. But if that's what you're eating, you're filling up on sweets and not, you know, might not even be getting enough protein per total calories you're ingesting.
I think that's, so there's that other issue, right? Seniors like to, older adults, like everybody else, we like to go out to eat.
This is anecdotal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like my extended family, it's gone from growing up, you know, breakfast after dinner, and now it's breakfast, breakfast after dinner, dessert after your meal. Now it's like, well, dessert before every meal. We start with, I'm like, what do you guys, this is not how you raised me, but I think there's a bit of a, you know, I don't want to swear on the radio, right? It's like, I got to this place, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. So if you're just tuned in, that you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. This is Non-Human Radio talking with Liza Khan on the subject of veganism and aging and being an older adult. So we're getting to the issue of protein. And so I was hoping maybe you could talk a little bit, not just for older adults like myself, but for everybody. Tell us about soy, and tell us, because one of the myths about soy that I hear people trotting out is that it will feminize men. It'll give, if you're a dude, it'll give you breasts, and otherwise cause problems, because people hear the term that there's like a, oh my gosh, there's something called an estrogen in
right.
soy. So I know I asked you to prep a little bit about that. So I was wondering if you could share a little, like, debunk the soy fear that is out there. Because I think it's a darn good bean.
All right. So a handful of individuals and organizations have taken an anti-soy position. In general, this position latches on to statistically insignificant findings and relies heavily on animal research studies, which are medically irrelevant to human health. Man boobs are scary, so let's start there.
Pectoral.
Hormones found in soy, such as tofu and edamame, These products contain very weak plant estrogens called phytoestrogens that hinder the body's natural estrogen from attaching to cells. When phytoestrogens occupy a cell, a normal estrogen cannot. Therefore, plant estrogens do not eliminate all of the estrogen's effects, but they do minimize them. So for men and boys, the phytoestrogens in soy do not appear to have any effect on hormone levels and have not been shown to affect sexual development or fertility. In fact, research studies have shown that men consuming soy have less prostate cancer and a better prostate cancer survival.
Oh, that is awesome to know. Yeah. Thank you so much. So they do act like estrogens only in the point that they can bind onto estrogen receptors.
Yes.
But they don't have all the other action that a human estrogen molecule would have.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Very weak.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, but they are fitting into those slots. They do have parts of them that look like estrogens, but in fact, they are not estrogenic. In fact, they do not cause any kind of feminization or the secondary sexual.
No.
Okay.
No.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. Rest assured.
And I believe soy is that what they call a complete protein with all those 9 missing aminos?
Soy, I would have to check on that.
Okay.
And I do want to point out, like most other plant foods, the most healthful choices are those that are minimally processed, so they retain all of their original nutrients. So the nutritional makeup of a raw edamame bean is going to look very different than a tofu pup. So soy is great, but you want to try to stick to the most natural plant-based soy products.
I think it also helps in just fiber.
Fiber,
It's hard to overeat on raw kale.
Yes.
You got to chew a lot. So, I mean, if you look at our sweets and desserts, the softer, the whiter the flour, it's both more processed, but you can just inhale your Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
And there's a point to actually chewing and slowing down.
Okay. So in the last bit of this interview section, I wanted to talk about senior communities, because you worked in that field for a number of years. So if you could just talk a little bit about, like, say I'm older and I'm you know, ready to retire, and maybe I want to move out of my big old house and move into, you know, something smaller, something more manageable. So can you talk about, like, if I were vegan, I am vegan. What are my options?
Sure. So if you yourself are an aging vegan and you want to continue with your lifestyle, but maybe you need to downsize, I think that 50-plus communities, also known as independent living communities, are a great option. Those are typically built for people who can take care of all of their activities of daily living. That's called an ADL, and that's how we differentiate between the different levels of care. So you have independent living, assisted living, nursing, skilled nursing, and then home care. And I spend a lot of time in home care, so that's also an option.
Assuming there's, and it's an option for lower income people. No?
Not really.
Okay, so there
is
isn't.
It's mostly private pay.
Okay, got it. Okay, so those are the different levels.
Yes.
And So
those are the different levels, and the different levels, we decide where the best fit would be by those activities of daily living.
Okay.
So activities of daily living are bathing, dressing, feeding. And if you can do most of them, then you can probably do well in an independent living. If you need help with 3 or more, then it's probably time to start looking at a more advanced setting like an assisted living facility.
Okay. And tell me about food in an assisted living.
I have seen it all. I have seen fabulous spreads, really great, yummy-looking food. I've seen really sad, nasty-looking food.
Does it correlate to the overall, like, expense of the place, or do you have, like, expensive places that have crappy food?
Yes, expensive places with crappy food. So that's why, again, it's so important to be your own advocate and go and visit these places. And most of the places will treat you to a free lunch, because it's a big part of your life, eating. And so if you move into a community, you want to like the food. So if you are interested, or if you're interested in having your family, one of your family members move in, call them up and go say, hey, can I come have lunch? And they'll let you in.
Okay, and that's for an assisted living scenario. So how about as you get further along? Because, you know, like, hospital food is typically not too vegan friendly, and I would assume as you...
Yeah, basically, if I'm ever in Enlo, I'm calling you guys to feed me.
deliver.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
really.
Not that anything against their food, but it wouldn't be up to our standards.
Yeah. So yeah, so so say we have more needs and we need to go into above assisted living is
skilled
nursing. Mm-hmm. So that's a different type of facility and
it is. They're skilled, and then there's also memory care, which we see a lot of now.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And because that's for Alzheimer's?
Dementia and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
And, those needs, those nutritional needs vary because someone can be very young with Alzheimer's and not just physically know how to feed themselves. So
I imagine after the independent living or the first rung, you may or may not have your own kitchen.
Right.
And then after that, you probably don't have any access to it. So you better like the food that they're going to
feed you.
You
better like the food, and you better be able to stand up for yourself.
Right.
Because if you're paying a lot of money to stay somewhere, they most likely will make make a meal for you.
Oh,
so,
I see.
I also know that the families who put up a fight usually win.
Right.
So it's
okay.
Nice to have some family support when those settings.
Oh, it's so fraught. The path to aging, aging well is so fraught with loopholes. And if you're not strong enough to be your own advocate, you're at the whim of a system that really is. You know, you could fall through the cracks.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the scariest things about aging. So
I agree.
Plan ahead. Get your wills, trust, talk to your kids, make sure you're set up.
Make a lot of vegan friends.
That's where community.
Yeah.
I've gone through and going through a lot of this with my own family, which we don't necessarily need to get into, but I can see all these issues coming.
Yep.
All right. Well, did you have any last words for us?
I just think if you want to be happy and healthy, you should go vegan.
Hear, hear.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to visit and chat with us. I think we'll probably have you back on, and maybe we'll have some more focused questions about this. So,
all right. And now it is time for the Animal Rights Calendar of Events. What's up, Jeannie?
So we have something going on tonight, actually. Tonight, the Butte Humane Society Supper Club is happening at the Raw Bar from 5, so it's already started, from 5 till 9 p.m. At 346 Broadway at 4th and Broadway. Butte Humane Society is partnering tonight with the Raw Bar for their December Supper Club, and that means that 15% of all proceeds tonight will be donated to the Butte Humane Society. So it's a good time to be able to serve yourself and serve homeless animals too at the same time.
Help the homeless animals.
Yeah. And then I just want to give a heads up again on this. On Saturday, December 10th, there's a number of events going on. There's a Christmas at the Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary from 3 to 7 p.m. in Colfax. And that they will be holding a Christmas celebration on Saturday from 3 to 7 p.m. And children's book illustrator Kara Shunk will be there to read and sign her children's book, Santa's First Vegan Christmas. And I looked into that book. If you're a parent trying to encourage your kids to think about helping others during the holiday season, this is an excellent book to add to your collection. The story begins with Santa getting ready to deliver presents, but Dana the reindeer has a better idea. Dana convinces Santa to move abused animals into sanctuaries, give food to the hungry, and money to the poor. And in the end, people try less taking and do a lot more giving. So if your Saturday is free and you have kids and you're willing to brave, well, maybe some snowy weather getting up there, I would check out blackberrycreek.org. And then we have on Saturday, December 10th, also we have the Vegan Red Bluff Potluck. The vegans of Red Bluff are at it again.
Red Bluff, wow.
Yeah, and they are having a potluck on December 10th in the evening at a private residence. And their theme this month is Bring Your Favorite Dish.
That's
so,
always my theme.
I don't know what else I would bring to a potluck, but anyway. So please check out the Vegan Red Bluff Facebook group for more information and to RSVP and get the address. And they are just a really nice group of people. And then the last thing I want to share is the AK Press, which is a radical press. They're having their warehouse sale at their distribution center in Chico at 370 Ryan Avenue, number 100, which is out by the airport. If you're looking for holiday presents, it's a good place to go. If you're not into the holidays, it's a good time to get yourself some new books to curl up and read. Everything in the warehouse is 25% off, and there will be tables of other sale books for $1 to $5. And vegan refreshments, good company, and general merriment. So that's all I have for the calendar. If you have an event